Got your Bible? Let's open up to the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians, and we'll be in Ephesians chapter number 4. Book of Ephesians chapter number 4. And that must have been where the prayer room was at, somewhere around that neck of the woods. Ephesians chapter 4. Find that place. You able? Let's stand. And I'll try to give you what I feel like the Lord have for us tonight. We need the help of the Lord. I really want God to help us tonight. The Bible says this, Ephesians chapter number 4, we'll start reading in verse number 1. Said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. Notice these next words he says, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in you all. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we sure need your help tonight. I pray for a few moments of time. God, you'd breathe on the service. I pray, God, you'd use us. And God, I pray that, Lord, you'd open and close our mouth tonight. I'd ask you, God, that any thought that be my own, that, Lord, you'd replace it with yours. God, I understand tonight that, Father, what we're asking you to do is high and lofty. But, God, we are serving the high and lofty one. Father, I sure thank you for what I felt in my heart tonight. Thank you, God, for the good preaching we heard earlier today. And God, I pray tonight, I understand that to God there's some messages, and Lord, I'd ask you, Father, I'd sure like to preach on the four hallelujahs of heaven sometime, but God, I'd ask you tonight that God should help us to say just what needs to be said. Father, I pray, God, again, as we often do, that Lord, if this is the last time that I ever get to say anything about you, Lord, I pray that you'd help me to say the best thing that I ever had. Father, I pray that, Lord, if you'd help us to magnify Christ, and God, it'd be good for all all of us to be here. And draw sinners and saints alike to yourself. And the Lord will rejoice in it all, for it's in Christ's name. And for his sake I pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I'm interested primarily in the notice that the Apostle Paul at this point in time has turned from doctrinal to devotional, or to your duty. In other words, he is stating that therefore, based on everything else that he has already laid out, that there ought to be some behaviors that happen in your life and in my life. Amen. If you believe a doctrine and it don't affect how you live, there's something wrong with what you believe. Amen. I'd say this, thank God, it's one thing to believe it. It's another thing for it to affect what happens. And you've heard me say oftentimes in the house of God that the Baptists have mastered the art of recognizing and understanding truth and doing absolutely nothing about it. Amen. And so we come in the house of God and we hear something and we say, man, that's right and I believe it. But if it never changes the way we walk or live, there is something wrong with how we've heard it. I'm interested. I want you to notice he starts talking about right there where folks don't usually like it. He starts talking about how you walk. He starts talking about how you ought to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. I'm interested primarily in one verse of the Lord to help us tonight, and that is verse number 3. Want you to notice what he says. He says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so the Apostle Paul, as he writes to this church, he says, there's something that you got to do. He said, you got to endeavor to keep the unity in the bond of peace. Now, that word endeavor means you got to strive to make it happen. Amen. In other words, thank God, unity don't just happen. I want you to understand, disunity is what naturally happens. If we're not just real careful, we'll all start trespassing over on each other, and before very long, there'll be disunity in the body of believers. And so we've got a duty, thank God, a responsibility, amen, and to make sure we work at keeping unity in this body, amen. And now I want to say this to you, friend. He's not talking about the universal body. He's talking about this local body. He's talking to the church at Ephesus. Amen. He's not saying this to the church at Philippi. He didn't write this to the church at Colossae. He wrote it to the church at Ephesus. He said, boy, there's something you like. And he did deal with it at church at Philippi. He dealt with two women particularly, Euodias and Syntyche. He said, I beseech thee that you write to them, therefore, that they would have the same mind. Wouldn't that be a blessing in the house of God? That preacher gets up to preach and he says, hey, everybody, let's pray for Delmer and Ty. They got something wrong between them. I'm going to write a letter and I want it fixed. Amen. That's essentially what the Apostle Paul does. If the Lord help us for a few minutes of time, I won't preach on this talk. On united we stand and divided we fall. Amen. I'm saying this, thank God, there has to be a unity in the house of God. Amen. And to thank God, I don't like there being not any unity. I don't like being in the house of God where I feel like there's no unity. I don't like it. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. If I can, I think there ought to be unity in every aspect and in every area. I think there ought to be unity in the pews. I think there ought to be unity in the pulpit. I think, thank God, when it comes time to plowing and it comes time to preaching, it ought to be all of us pulling together. Amen. I ought to be unified, thank God. Have one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Have one God, Father of all, above all, through all, and in y'all. I don't like it, thank God. And when I'm preaching, I feel like I'm preaching against a wall. Amen. I don't like it, thank God, when you feel like, and then thank God you're pulling this way, and you got 10 tons pulling behind you. And thank God, I'm telling you, friend, that they ought to be unity around the Word of God. Amen. Have we come in the house of God? Listen, let me say this. And we can't just get into unity. And we don't decide it tonight. There's far too many thoughts, far too many attitudes and for us to come in and all think the same way. I realize you don't think like I think. And to thank God for it. Amen. And I don't think like you think. And to thank God for it. Amen. I
Whenever we come in the house of God, you say, preacher, how do we get in one mind and one accord? That's not me thinking about you. That's all of us thinking about Him. And when all of our minds get on Christ, I'm talking about thank God when all our minds in this church get on Christ, and Christ brings us into unity, amen. And so thank God. Listen, let me say this. And just by way of introduction, I'll preach the message in just a minute. I'm already feeling pretty good right here. I'm going to say this to you. It's pleasant, amen. That's what the Bible says about unity. I thank God. He said in Psalm 133, and behold how good and pleasant it is and for brethren to dwell together in unity. And there's something about, thank God, listen, I've been preacher Sabbath, preacher revival one time, and every time you just feel it. Every time the preacher got up to say something, I'm talking about every time he said something, it was just water on the service. Everybody in that place, it wasn't long until he left. That church asked him, you know what happened? Was happening in that body? It was disunity in the body. There was a schism. And if, listen to me, I want you to hear me real careful. And now if I get to be the problem, have my folks just let me know, and I'll tell you, I'll take care of that. But look here, friend. And by and large, the problem is not the Word of God. Amen. And the problem is our personalities, thank God. Thank God. Let's we'll look at that in just a minute. I won't get too far ahead of myself. He's not nothing like being in the house of God, though, and there being unity. Amen. Oh, yes, listen, I'm going to tell you, it's pleasant. I'd say this to you, it's practical. And for us to be together and together, and the Bible says, Ephesians 2:21, and whom all the building fitly framed together, it grows, amen. Hey, you say, preacher, how do we grow? We get in unity, amen. And thank God, listen, I want you to understand, friend, I really do believe that there's something about having folks get together in unity, and that God honors it, God blesses it. And thank God, listen, it becomes practical. But I'm going to say this, it becomes powerful too, amen. And the book of Colossians, the Bible says, and be holding your order. And that is one person standing next to the next person. And thank God that that draws in our mind. That draws in our mind folks standing and one next to another in a battle line. And thank God if there's ever a place and there ought to be unity, it's in us fighting the devil, amen. And thank God, listen, look here. I'm just about through the introduction. And they say, I don't want there to be no disunity. I don't think there ought to be disunity between our Sunday school teachers. I don't think there ought to be disunity between the saints. They sure ought not be disunity between any of us and God. I mean, thank God, listen, it problem between you and God, friend, you are the problem, amen. It's not ever Him, amen. If you got a problem between you and the Word of God, it is you, it's me, it's not Him, thank God. And now listen, there's much to be said. And the first question I'd say is this. And some people say, does it even make any difference? How does it even matter if a body of believers is in unity together? I mean, there's a lot of folks feel like, thank God, and if this thing ain't no work, it don't require no effort, and we just come up and show up, and that God just does His thing. And that is not how God designed the church, amen. And God designed the church for us to endeavor and to keep together the bond of unity. And we've got whispers in our mind, and we've got the devil. If we're not real careful, he'll show up, and he tries to start whispering. And before long, there's an alt here, and there's an alt there, and there's a thought here, and there's a thought there. And then the body that used to function so well in unity now is disunified. God help us, we don't want that. And so I'll give you a few things and I'll be done. Everybody smile at me tonight too. That help me, amen. Let me say this, friend. I know we probably ain't going to shout tonight, but I hope, praise God, we'll get a shout a little later when we get in unity, amen. And the first thing I'd say to you is this, is there's got to be a pursuit of it. And the Bible says to endeavor and to keep the bond of unity, or to endeavor to keep the spirit of unity and the bond of peace. I'm going to say this, we ought to pursue after it, amen. I mean, listen, if there's something between you and somebody else, I thank God you ought to get that thing fixed. And you say, preacher, I ain't going to do it. And well, listen, when folks die and go to hell and ain't no power of God, and you ought to look at God and say, God, and my pride and my attitude is the reason that didn't happen. I'm telling you, thank God. Now listen, make no mistake about it. And you come in with the wrong attitude and go about sowing discord, and you'll destroy an entire body of believers. Amen. Oh, yes, thank God. Listen to me. I want you to hear me real well. I tell you, first reason we need to do it, I thank God we need to be in unity. That's because I done read about it's when a church gets in unity, that the presence of God falls. Everybody in here remember Acts chapter 2? I thank God they were in one mind, and they were in one place, and they were in one accord. I thank God, listen, all of them, amen. And they came to where they was at, and they sat in that place, and the Bible said in Acts chapter number 2, and there about verse number 2, I think it is, he said, and suddenly, and there fell from heaven a mighty a rushing wind, amen. I mean, listen, I'll tell you what happened. And they all got in one mind and one accord, and God said, I believe I'll just show up in the middle of that, amen. It's almost like God likes for his people to be together in unity, amen. Ain't that a blessing, thank God. Oh, listen, I'm going to say this to you, friend. If there ain't hardly nothing like it, I'm not going to try to get too far ahead of myself. And my brother Delmer Savage got up here and got to preaching, and he wasn't meaning to lie, but he's lying a little bit. He said, Brother Kevin, best preacher in the whole world. You know why? He says, listen, he believes that. I know you don't believe that, and I don't believe that, but he believes it, amen. Hey, you want to know why he believes it? Because love covers a multitude of sin. And the reason he believes that is because he loves me. And thank God, listen, that's why he does that. And see, when you love somebody, and the more you love them, thank God, and the more you're willing to overlook and what's wrong, thank God. Hey, you better believe that. Oh, yes, friend. And there's a lot of folks that you love up to a certain point. But my friend, beyond that point, hey, you don't love them no more. The reason Brother Savage don't mind listening to me preach, because he loves me, amen. And then I come on Sunday morning sometime, and the reason folks don't come back, they don't like me, amen. And they say, that's sorry preaching. And they were confused when he was saying what he was saying. I'm saying this, friend, unless in the body of believers, I ought to want the presence of God to fall, amen. It ought not be about me or about you. It ought to be about, thank God, the presence of God falling on this place. I can tell you this, it's a place where the presence of God falls. I thought about this, thank God. I mean, it's a place where the presence, where the power of God flows. And you get together in unity. Acts chapter number 12. You'll find that there's a man named Peter in prison. And all of a sudden, there's a unified body gets together. And they start praying. What about that? I mean, they start praying. I don't find where they worship. I don't find where they're preaching. But they was a praying. And while this unified body of believers had got to praying, it wasn't too long before God had got to reaching down to where he was at. Hey, listen, led him through the four quarter torn ends. And the Bible says took him out first fast. And the first and the second and the third ward, amen. And he led Peter right out to the house of Rhoda. And where they were gathered together praying, I'm saying this, and we get in a place that's unified. It's a place where the power of God flows. Amen. Oh, I don't want to be the reason. I don't want to be the reason the power of God stopped up to you. I mean, I'm being honest with you. Thank God. I don't want to be a part of that. Thank God. I don't want to be a part of this. And I'm honest with you, friend. I don't want to be a part of nothing where the unity of God is not at. And it's something. Now, listen, you say, preacher, how do you know something we don't know? This is preventative maintenance. And thank God the light ain't came on. Amen. And there ain't no dash lights on, far as I know. But I want to keep them off. Amen. I want to keep them off. Thank God. I don't want to wait till I get down the road and that thing starts flashing and my horn starts beeping at me and for me to realize there's a problem. I'm saying this, it takes a work, amen. If we're going to keep unity, it'll keep everybody in the church working for it, amen. Oh yeah, there's the power of it. I thought about this, boy, I'm telling you, it's a place where the praise will feel it. That church gets together in unity. I read over there in 2 Chronicles chapter number 5. How the Bible says when the trumpeters and the singers were as one. And they begin to sing a song. And as they begin to sing, the power of God fell. And when the power of God fell, the Bible says that they could not even stand. Had to stay in the place and minister because of the reason of the presence of God. Oh, it's a place where the praise of God will fill a place. And you get some folks together in unity. unity and get their mind around the same thing. I mean, honestly, friend, every time that the song is sang, it don't matter where it's at, if our minds are on Christ, it ought to be a song that stirs our soul. Amen. And now listen, I don't expect everybody to run the aisles every service. And I don't even know that God wants us to run the aisles every service. But I'm going to say this, I think He expects us to have more joy than what we got a lot of times. Amen. I think He expects more out of us. As a matter of fact, He wrote to the body of believers at Hebrews. He said, brethren, we are persuaded of better things of you, things that accompany salvation. Some things that go along with salvation, and hold on to your hat, neighbor, and rejoicing's one of them. Amen. I ain't never seen somebody get saved mad about it. Amen, amen, amen. Thank God they get up. And the first thing they want to do is rejoice. That's the thing about this. I'm going to have to get this out of my spirit so I can move on about it. Friend, you can't be in unity with a body if you ain't there. Amen. Listen, I don't know how they do it in Fenner's County. But over in Scott County, they used to say it like this. And say, now, Brother Kevin, they say, listen, we're not going to be there in body, but we'll be with you in spirit. And that's a lie. I was trying to think of an nicer way to say it, but it's a lie. Amen. And thank God I never have found nobody with me in spirit. It wasn't with me in body. Amen. I say amen. Y'all know that's right. And thank God. And they'll say, well, that's with you in spirit. What that meant was, I thank God they didn't have no intention of it, but it relieved their mind and their conscience of the duty that they had. Amen. I'm saying, friend, thank God if we're going to be in a place where the power of God felt flows, and where the presence of God falls, and where the praise of God feels, and thank God we'll have to be in unity. And I'm going to say this, friend. It's a place where the purpose of God forms. Amen. And when a church is together in unity, and look at me, dear neighbor, and we can't do a lot of things by ourselves. But boy, as a body of believers, as an entire church, it's untelling what we can do. And for the glory of God, I thought about in the book of Nehemiah, the Bible said, if a half of the wall was joined, and to a half thereof, and because the people had a mind to work. Amen. And listen, everybody in the place said, and we've got one common goal, and one common desire. Let's get that wall built up. Amen. And to thank God, because they were in unity, in 52 days, and they built the whole thing. Amen. And that's pretty something, friend. I mean, we're talking about a 9-foot wide wall that was torn down, every gate around it but one broken down. And they're all burned with fire. And they're fighting an enemy in the day. They're fighting an enemy at night. And they got a shovel in one hand and a sword in the other hand. And somehow, despite all that, and because they all got together, and they made a difference in that wall. Amen. He'll say, oh, preacher, you don't know where I'm at. I'm going to tell you this. If you think, and thank God, look here, friend, if you think this thing's going to be easy, it's going to get, look, listen to me. And the best counsel I can give a saint of God, and the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, and the more you're going to have battles, amen. You just as well to expect it, and just expect to know it. And thank God, listen, and get in unity with some folks, and say, let's build it together, amen. And so I'm going to say this, first of all, we see the pursuit of unity. I want to say this to you, secondly, I see the problem with unity. Have the problem with unity. Now listen, if we weren't going to shout before, I promise you we're not going to shout now. Amen. I want to say this. You know why we don't have more unity? I mean, thank God. Now listen, I want y'all to listen to me real carefully. I really do believe, I used to think that only about half of the folks loved me, but I'm coming to the conclusion that at least 65% do. Amen. I mean, we're gaining on it. Amen. But I'm telling you this, friend. I want everybody to listen to me real, real carefully. You want to know why that sometimes there's disunity in a body of believers? It's best evidence, Brother Christian, in the life of Absalom. Absalom destroys the kingdom of Israel. I mean, he absolutely destroys it and rips it out of the hand of his father. And we see every characteristic in the life of Absalom is still what's killing churches today. And now listen to me, friend. And the first reason I find is that there's pain that is not dealt with. And we find, oh, Absalom, he had a deep-seated pain in his heart that he did not deal with. He was mad about his sister Tamar being raped, and instead of dealing with what was going on, he just thought, I'm going to push it down and I'm going to get my revenge. I'm telling you, friend, if you don't deal with the pain and the bitterness in your soul, it'll cause disunity in the whole body. Amen. You sit and fester on it. Bible says that root of bitterness springing up, it'll defile many. It'll defile many. Hey, these pain. I'm going to be honest with you. Listen to me. I'm not trying to be mystical or nothing like that. But I'm telling you for sure, when I got to this point right here, and the Holy Ghost still in my heart, and the Lord God started just really hammering down in my soul. Listen, friend, if you've got pain that's not dealt with down here, if there's hurt that's there that you've not dealt with and really done business with God with it, if you ain't real careful, you'll bring this whole body into disunity because of your hurt. That pain's got to be dealt with. That pain's got to be dealt with. Oh, listen, well, don't die on me right there, friend. That's not the place to die on me. You remember a minute ago I said, whenever I'm preaching, I don't like to yoke up 10 ton. I want everybody to pull with me. Hey, what I said's right, what I said's right. Hey, you keep pushing pain to the bottom. You keep trying to worship God around it. It's in disunity with you and Him, and it'll bring you in disunity with your brothers and sisters. Amen. Oh, Absalom, he had pain that he wouldn't deal with. I want to say, secondly, he had pride that he wouldn't deal with. I'll tell you, listen, the Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. Now listen, if there's a problem between me and Brother Creston, there's a problem with pride in one of us. Amen. And I thank God, listen, I mean, if there's a problem between me and Josh, there's a problem between me and Eli, between me and Pat, that means that there's a problem with pride between somebody. There's nobody in this church that'll be in unity together as long as we're eat up with pride between each other. Hey, you say, preacher, I ain't going to go make things right. Well, that's fine. Thank God, just kill the whole body. Why don't you, amen? It don't matter. You just do what's best for you. Let folks die and go to hell all around you. Let folks just miss the purpose of God because you're consumed with your own pride. Amen. God help us. Well, we was running well. Everybody's with me till then. Amen. I'm saying this, thank God. Look here. Friend, you got to be real careful of that pride. That pride will cause you to go around. Now listen, let me just, while I'm here, thank God, while I'm standing where I'm standing, I'm not standing alone, but I'm okay to stand alone. I want you to know that. While I'm standing here, friend, listen, I'll tell you the worst thing that happened in the house of God. I'm talking about one of the worst things that happened is for me to go up here and say, hey, Brother Wayne, you know what I think? I don't think that Brother Matt really cares for me, and I don't think he probably really cares for you. And up until that point, you didn't even know he didn't care about you. And now you're thinking, wait a second, why don't Matt call about? Now look here. Everybody pay attention real close right here. Pay real close attention to what I'm going to say. And one of the seven things the Lord hates is he that sows discord among the brethren. Amen. 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 Smile at me right there. Now look here, friend. I'm going to be honest with you. If you ever get to that place, probably 95% of the time it's a lie from hell. But if you ever get to that place where you feel like there's something between you and somebody else, my responsibility if there's something between me and Josh is not to go tell Pap. For very long what happens, because once I've told it to him, he can't unhear it. Y'all listen to me. Listen, I feel like I've been dealing with some tough stuff lately, and I feel like, folks, like, preacher, move on to something happy. And I really, listen, honest to God, if there's anybody want to preach something happy, I want to. Be careful about sowing discord. You say, preacher, I wasn't trying to sow discord. Well, listen, whether you was trying to or not, you go around and you start talking bad about your brothers and sisters, you know what you're doing?
Amen.
Everybody all right right there? I'll be honest with you, I about half feel inclined just to give an altar call right there. I don't know why it got so quiet. Well, Lord,
Forgive us for being guilty. Forgive us. I don't even know that we understand the damage that we do whenever we do that. Yeah, man. Oh, listen, I'm talking about the pride ate him up. I don't want to die here. I'm going to tell you the next thing. I'll tell you what else he done. Wasn't too long before that pride got a hold of him. He started sowing poison in the whole camp. Oh, Absalom said, oh, would to God, he said, that there was a man ordained here. He said, I know old dad wasn't up there. He said, old dad's not doing much. He said, but if I was just deputized, he said, I'd do y'all right, amen. Oh, so let me say this to you. Where in the world was Absalom at? And whenever David was minding God, when he was hiding in the caves and doing everything right, now all of a sudden the kingdom's there. We got old Absalom trying to show up, and he just wants to rip it out of his head. I'm telling you, dear neighbor, be very, very careful about causing disunity in the body of believers. He just starts sowing poison. All of us, look here, all of us are poison makers. Y'all know that's right. I mean, now listen, don't nobody get real nervous on me, but everybody in this room, you got one of the most poisonous weapons known to man.
Yeah, brother, that's right.
Yeah. I don't want you to think less of me than what you should. And I'll promise you, most everybody in here thinks higher of me than what you should. This right here, it's assassinated a many of people. That right there, it's took the influence away for many of people. God help me. I got to thinking about Brother Dustin. I got to thinking about what the Apostle Paul told him over there at Philippi. He said, some trying to preach Christ out of contention, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. He said, but whether they preach Christ out of contention, strife, or envy, he said, Christ is preached, and he said, there I glorify. The end of the thing, the Apostle Paul wasn't running around. He wasn't trying to kill everybody. I'm telling you, it's getting tougher and tougher to preach. It's getting tougher and tougher. Good news for you. Thank God I don't mind to plow through it. Amen. Usually it goes the other way around. Starts off a little tough, gets easier the longer I preach. Tonight, opposite. Start off real easy, getting tougher the further I go. I'm saying this, be very careful. Be very careful how much poison you put. I want you to listen. Some folks can take more poison than others. Now look here. You start poisoning these right here. Now listen, I'll try to give adults reasonable time. You know, I'm always the last to find out anything. I don't know if y'all know that or not. But maybe y'all didn't know that. I don't know. As a pastor, you're the last to find out about anything as far as people's concerned. I'll let adults work things out. You start poisoning a kid, we're going to have problems. You try to start taking away how they look at people, we're going to have problems. They ought to be unity. You say, preacher, I'm guilty of all of it. I'm going to ask God to forgive me. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Do it one better. Y'all listening? Do one better. Now, if nobody knows about it, go tell God and God alone. If other people know about it, go get right with them too. All right, well. Brother Savage made it so you can't vote me out. Deal with him about that. I'm going to give you this, and what I want to preach about tonight, three things, and I'm done. I want to talk about how we preserve unity. How do we keep unity in this body? He tells you. First of all, be tender-footed. Watch what he said, Ephesians 4:1. Let everybody, he said, walk worthy of the vocation where you've been called. Verse number 2, all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Be tender-footed. When you walk around everybody, you ain't got to be so mean, thank God. Walk lightly around everybody. I tell you what do us all wonders is to walk around everybody like it's the worst day of their life. Walk tenderly.
Don't start trespassing over folks. Won't be too long till you'll start hurting people that you did not intend to hurt. Just walk lowly and walk lightly. Is that all right? Just be tender-footed when you walk. Don't be so quick to trespass over on somebody if they did. The Bible said forbearing one another in love. Let me put that in Fenner's County and Scott County terms. Put up with one another because you love each other. You ain't always likable.
That's right.
Amen. Is that okay to say? I don't know if you know it or not, you're not the most likable person. That's okay. Y'all with me right there? Hey, Brother Kevin is not the most likable person. I'm not the easiest person to love. But it is something for somebody to say, man, you know, I know what he said was not right, but I love him so much that even if what he said was wrong, I'm just going to keep loving him. It's not even going to bother me.
That's good preaching.
Ain't it amazing how we can do that? Listen, what's good for the church house is good for your house. I don't like when there's disunity between spouses.
Amen.
You know what helps us when there's disunity between we get that thing fixed? You say, preacher, you just have to know what's going on between me and my husband. Only by pride cometh contention.
That's right.
Only. Yep. There's not more than one way.
If they,
I tell you, every time I've cast it, I've hit a snag all night long. All night. Every time I've thrown out. Every time. If there's disunity in your home, there's probably not going to be unity in this church. You need to get right with your wife or your husband. Brother Bobby said this. He's told me this 100 times, at least. He'd say, Brother Harold used to say, now, I don't know. This is what he said he said. He said, Brother Harold used to say, if I say this wrong, you correct it. Say, if you and your wife's in a knockdown drag out, don't bring that garbage in the house of God and hindering the whole service.
Yes.
Is that what you told me? I say that about right.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Just hinders things. Disunity. Be tender-footed. Number two, be tender-tongued. Now listen. Watch what he says, verse 31. He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. You want to know how to keep unity? Keep your feet real tender. Keep that tongue real, real tender. I'll promise you this. Now listen, I don't ask people because I'm afraid of the answer, but I could probably ask people around you how you feel about me, and they probably know. I could probably ask people around you how you feel about Daniel. It's all right if I use you right here, ain't it? I could probably say, how do y'all feel about Nathaniel? And ask the people you talk to, and they'd tell me how you felt about him. But if you feel negatively about him, don't come tell me. It won't end well. Is that all right? You feel negatively about Bill Crabtree? Go kick rocks. That's not in the Bible. I spoke that by permission. Go kick rocks. Amen. Get right with God. I tell everybody, Lord God, please help me. I tell everybody I counsel that's getting ready to get married, I said, as far as the world's concerned, your wife ought to be the best bride. And I tell all the ladies, your husband ought to be the best husband.
That's right. Amen.
And even if things ain't right, they ought not nobody else know it.
Right.
You ought to be so sweet in your tongue about those who you love the dearest that nobody else would ever know any different.
Right. That's
I feel that way about the church, don't you?
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to move on. There's going to be about five of us left in unity if I don't hurry up. Listen, watch this. If we're going to preserve unity, there's got to be tender feet, got to be tender tongues. Watch verse 32. He said, be ye kind one to another, tender hearted. Forgiving one another. If somebody perchance has said something, or they have trespassed over on you and done something, my responsibility, Kayla, is to forgive them. Even as God, for Christ's sake, forgave me. Now, forgiving you is not easy sometimes. And forgiving me is not easy sometimes when we're looking at each other. Sometimes I probably said things like, I don't care if I ever see them again. Care if I ever talk to them again. If they feel that way, I get a bad attitude sometimes. I'm being honest with you. I wish I didn't. I wish I didn't. I wish I didn't have a bad attitude, but I mean, I'm just being honest. I'm being as transparent as I can. Sometimes my attitude stinks. It does. It's terrible. But if I've done you wrong, would you forgive me for Christ's sake? I'm not talking about for me. I'm talking about, would you look beyond me and what Christ's done for us? And say, Lord, if you can forgive me of how I've treated you, surely I can forgive him of how he's treated me. You know what happens all of a sudden? We start looking through that thing through the lens of Christ. That heart gets tender. That tongue gets tender. Them feet get tender. And before very long, that body that was in disunity, God brings it back in. I'm done, I think. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm sure that everybody in this room that's married, it's probably not always been the best. Is that all right to say? Now, I know when everybody walks in here, everybody wants everybody to think that their marriage is the greatest marriage that's ever been. Can I tell you this? There's times been tough in mine and Allison's marriage. And there's times been tough in yours. But I didn't throw her away and she didn't throw me away.
Amen.
They've been times, listen, I don't even like saying stuff like this. There's been times when I'd stay in the garage and she'd stay in her room because there was disunity. 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 But you know what happens inevitably in that thing? Somewhere, Brother Ty, the Holy Ghost starts dealing my heart and he starts dealing her heart. And one of us got to come up to the other one at some point in time. And here's how I found this thing to be, Kagan. This is what I found the Lord to. I'm talking about in my marriage. I don't know about nobody else's. I don't know what God. Listen, you say, preacher, I ain't never had a problem. Thank God for you. Praise God. Write a book. Amen. I don't know what to tell you. But inevitably, I've had to come up and say, Allison, I'm sorry.
Right.
And then Allison, about the time my heart got tender, you know what God done to hers? It's wild how it works.
Right.
It's almost like God designed it.
Yes.
About the time God started tendering my heart, he started tendering hers.
Praise God.
And you know, there's been times it's been tough that I just thought, man, I don't know.
Yeah, buddy.
I don't know.
Sure.
And then God just takes that home that's in disunity. And through prayer, through forgiveness, God takes that thing and he puts that thing back together. And man, when he puts it back together, it's better than it's ever been. And can I tell you this? I'm being honest with you. 20, ever how many years I've been married at this point, we've done this and this so many times. But when it comes like this, Brother Dustin, it don't get as far out here as it used to. I know this. I know this ain't helping some of you, but it's real. Now when that thing gets disjointed just a little bit, I don't look here. I don't even like it. I don't even like it to get beyond. Say, preacher, why are you saying this? I want this body, this church, to be like this. And a man, when there's things and we're fighting every day, things that are tearing apart at it, it's our responsibility to do all we can to make sure it stays like this. I'm done. Stand to your feet. I've cleared my heart.